This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A bill called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is marinating in the North Carolina House while lawmakers were on vacation this week. Similar measures in Indiana, Arkansas, and Maine have attracted national attention. Supporters say they protect their rights to worship freely. Opponents say they allow private companies to discriminate against the LGBT community. Meanwhile, two bills under consideration at the General Assembly call for police across the state to wear body cameras. The national conversation resurfaced this week after a white police officer in South Carolina was charged with murder in the death of an unarmed black man. The political junkie Ken Rudin is back with us today to talk about these stories and more in North Carolina politics. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Let's talk about these so-called religious freedom bills across the country, a draft proposal, I guess the latest in Maine, and of course here in North Carolina. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, given all the controversy that we saw in Indiana and, of course, Arkansas as well, and both states had to do a redo, they had a retrack. I mean, Mike Pence was already planning to run for president until he got this outrage, not only from the gay and lesbian community, which was significant, but from big business, from corporate interests who say you're embarrassing the state, you're hurting tourism. Eli Lilly, the NCAA, all these companies said, look, this is just not what we need. And so in the wake of all this controversy, I see that North Carolina legislators are pushing it as well. And they said, well, you know, we've always wanted freedom and we've been fighting for religious freedom since we left the Church of England. And somehow, I don't know how the Church of England has anything to do with 2015, but it's become so interesting to see North Carolina almost oblivious to the controversy that it's been in other states, that even Governor McCrory, who's a conservative, but he's also understands the importance of business and the reputation of his state, say, why now? This is so unnecessary.
All right, well, so we will track that through the state General Assembly, two other bills in the General Assembly. These would require a majority of police officers in North Carolina to wear body cameras. Again, this has a lot of connection and resonance with national stories that are playing across the country. How does this discussion here in North Carolina play, again, into this larger conversation?
Well, what's very encouraging about this is that at least one of the two bills regarding the body cameras, it has gotten bipartisan support. Both, even though it was introduced by a Democrat, Republicans are on board as well, and that is encouraging in the sense that this should not be a partisan issue, given what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, given what happened in with police situations around the country, and especially what happened this week in North Charleston, South Carolina, where a video showed a white policeman shooting a black man in the back eight times, or shooting at him eight times, and ultimately killing him. It seems like, if anything, the distrust between the police and the communities they serve could only benefit, one would think, by this argument, that by having these cameras on the bodies of the police officers.
You say it's bipartisan, but the latest version of the bipartisan edition has been stripped of the provision to require police forces to use the cameras, so that while there's a funding mechanism to help pay for some of these, and particularly in the larger city, the urban areas in the state, a provision that would have required police to actually use them has since been stripped from the bill. So that part of it is out. So and the police, the Association of Police Chiefs have said, we have no objection to cameras. We just don't want to have to use them. So that's where we are right now.
There is that. But they've also said, I mean, you know, should the public have the access to the video? When do you turn on the camera? Is the legislation going to tell us how to use it? So there is that problem. But again, I mean, of course, the language could also be worked out as well.
All right. So a new law in North Carolina that calls for presidential primaries to move up to February of next year. That's moving them up a little bit rather than later in the primary cycle. What are the consequences of moving this presidential primary, Ken?
Well, you know, they always have a primary. North Carolina always, they, you people, always have usually have a presidential primary in May. Now, when you have an exciting primary like 2008 with the Democrats, with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, May was exciting because it was the race was still going on. But usually, for the most part, the battle for the nomination is well over by then. So North Carolina Republicans said, okay, let's move ours right after South Carolina. South Carolina is going to have their primary in mid to late February, so North Carolina wants to have it before that. But national party rules say that if you're not one of the four anointed states, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, all those states can have their primaries and caucuses in February. If you're a state that breaks that March 1st deadline, you're going to be stripped of most of your delegates. So, for example, North Carolina Republicans had 55 delegates in 2012. They would only have 13. Ultimately, I don't think it matters how many delegates you have. By the time we get to the convention, the nomination has long been settled. But I think North Carolina looks like it's going to backtrack. They'll move their primary to March. But again, given the fact that this is such an open Republican battle, there is no front runner. We have no idea who the nominee is going to be. The early contest will certainly matter. And if I were North Carolina, I wouldn't want to wait to May either. I would want to have it as early as possible, but not at the expense of losing your delegates.
Well, and the promise by the party is no idle threat. That has happened in the earlier primary cycles in other states, right?
That's exactly right. The Democrats had that with Michigan and Florida in 2008. And, you know, the Democrats stripped both states of half their delegates or more than that, the delegates. But then they worked out a compromise. Ultimately, everybody wants to make everybody happy. Nobody wants to have unhappy delegations at the national convention. But having said that, I mean, rules are rules. And, of course, South Carolina, you know, South Carolina wants to be the first in the South primary. Both parties have given South Carolina that honor, and for to have North Carolina on its tail right after that is upsetting to South Carolina. So ultimately, I think North Carolina will have an early March primary. It depends on how early it will be, but it won't be before March 1st. They're not going to lose their delegates.
Right, and the problem has been, as you suggested, that the primaries here become anticlimactic. The race is often decided by the time we get around to our primaries here. But there have been memorable primary races in North Carolina, have there not, Ken?
Yes, they have. I mean, in addition to the May one, with again, the fact that Obama and Clinton were still going on in May, but the two big North Carolina primary years were 1976, when Reagan won his first primary against President Ford. Ford won the nomination, but Reagan beat him in the primary, and there was the Jimmy Carter George Wallace primary in 76, which was very crucial to see if George Wallace still had sway over the South. And in 1988, Al Gore during Super Tuesday beat Jesse Jackson and Michael Dukakis, but both of those were moved to March. Both 1976 and 1988 primaries were moved to March, and they were very significant. Otherwise, if you look at the history of North Carolina primaries, basically they were just unimportant, because by the time May rolled around, the nominations were decided in both parties.
Talking to the political junkie Ken Rudin today on the State of Things. Yeah, that Reagan primary was really important because he was about to drop out before that primary. He had already lost and figured he was out of the race, and a guy named Jesse Helms convinced him to stay, and that victory in the North Carolina primary is what encouraged him to run in 1980, and the rest, as we say, is history.
And not only that, his victory in North Carolina in March of 1976 propelled Reagan to stay in the race all the way through the convention. He lost to Ford in a bitterly contested nomination battle in the convention. And yes, while the Republican Party was split that year, Jimmy Carter did manage to win. It did propel Reagan to his victory in 1980. Jesse Helms played a key role.
He allowed him to work with an operative of his named Richard Viguerie, who would then go on to the campaign and begin direct mail in a way that changed politics forever.
Absolutely.
Ted Cruz is going to be in North Carolina. Hillary Clinton is going to announce. It's a big weekend in politics in America.
Absolutely. And Marco Rubio, poor Marco Rubio. I mean, he planned for a long time to have his announcement on Monday the 13th. And of course, Hillary Clinton now announcing on Sunday the 12th, which just been confirmed in the past day or so. Poor Marco Rubio. I mean, the headlines are not going to be about Marco Rubio, but I understand Hillary Clinton is going to announce her candidacy through her own private email account. That's going to be fascinating.
Which one? Ted Cruz is going to be in North Carolina. We mentioned that on Monday. So what does that early appearance in North Carolina say to you?
Well, it says that, I mean, first of all, you know, once upon a time we said, oh, no, not another Jeb Bush coronation. This is hardly a Jeb Bush coronation. There are a lot of interesting, different candidacies around in the Republican Party. We saw the announcement last week by Rand Paul, who is a completely different kind of Republican. There is a battle out there for money. Jeb Bush may have the money battle not locked up, but certainly with a big advantage. And you have vote-rich and money-rich states like North Carolina, which will be very crucial for the nomination and also crucial for raising money.
All right, so we're going to play a lot in North Carolina. We can tell once again. Ken Rudin, always a pleasure to talk with you, political junkie. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, we're going to meet the woman who helped launch the Black Lives Matter movement, and we will do that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.